Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher.
And if you go back 6 months ago, there were eight great cities that put in bids for this. Those eight cities, Las Vegas, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Columbus, Denver, Dallas, and Cleveland, were narrowed to six, and then to four, and then two. And I know collectively, all of us who were involved in the process on a day-in, day-out basis, as well as the media covering it, and the citizens in Northeast Ohio, have been anxious to know the outcome. So we're thrilled to stand here today to say that Cleveland will host the 2016 Republican National Convention.
Woo! That was Terry Egger, Cleveland's Executive Host Committee Chairman, speaking last week at a news conference announcing that Cleveland would be the site of the 2016 Republican National Convention. Cleveland boosters hope the event helps redeem the city's spotty reputation and encourage investment. Coming up, we'll hear about Cleveland's plans for the 2016 Republican National Convention, and we'll consider the odds for Columbus snagging the 2016 Democratic National Convention. Joining us now is Ryan Mahoney. He's a Deputy Press Secretary for the Republican National Committee. Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
What was the thinking behind going with Cleveland? The weather? Because Dallas is awful hot in the summer, by the way.
It is, but I think that the committee looked a little bit past the weather. but, you know, this was ultimately a business decision for the committee. And like you guys heard from Terry just then, there were eight great cities that were involved in this process from the start. And they eventually got narrowed down to two, and it came down to Dallas and Cleveland. And Cleveland's just the energy and the enthusiasm from the host committee, the overall quality of the package that they offered, and the willingness to work with the RNC to ensure that we put on a good convention in 2016 was ultimately what pushed Cleveland over the top.
The overall quality of the package sounds more like a business issue than energy and enthusiasm. Tell us about the overall quality of the package. What does that constitute?
So, you know, obviously, whether it's the Republican National Convention or the Democrat National Convention, I mean, these are very large events. So there's a lot of logistical elements that go into an event of that size. So you're talking about hotels, transportation, venues, and things like that that go into hosting an event of this scale. And Cleveland's bid package had everything, and it had everything that the committee was looking for. And then you add in those enthusiasm and energy factors from the host committee and folks like Governor Kasich, who was really helpful in the bid process, and Mayor Jackson, who was fantastic and just very accommodating. And I think, you know, all those factors put together and you've got, you know, here we are with Cleveland as the winner.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest is Ryan Mahoney. He's the GOP deputy, I'm sorry, the Republican National Committee Deputy Press Secretary. If you have a question or comment, we're talking about the choice of Cleveland for the 2016 Republican National Convention. You can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'd love to hear from some of our listeners from Cleveland. What do you think about the choice? What do you make of it, and how do you think Cleveland will do? 614-292-8513. If Columbus is selected for the Democratic National Convention in 2016, it would be the first time that one state has held both parties' conventions since 1972, which is an incredibly long time. But on the other hand, Ohio has seven major media markets. It's kind of been a long time since Ohio's done much of anything in this case, I guess since the 20s. If they were both in the same city, that would be an issue. I think it has been in the past in Miami. But is it an issue for the Republicans if the Democrats choose Columbus?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think that we are very happy with our pick of Cleveland. And I think that, you know, aside from the fact that we, you know, this was ultimately a business decision, you can't ignore the political importance of Ohio. And we think that we can translate some of the enthusiasm we'll have coming out of convention into gathering volunteers and help boosting our field efforts for whoever our nominee is. But, you know, the Democrats are still pretty far behind in this process. And by behind, I mean they're just now visiting the first six cities that they're looking at. So they've got cities from across the country still looking at it. So And I think that's something that, you know, you could cross that bridge when you get there. But I think when from our perspective, I don't think that that would really be a concern from us. And we already have folks on the ground, you know, in Ohio recruiting volunteers. So, you know, we're already starting 2 years out for obviously the midterms. So we're going to continue that through 2016. And I think the fact that we've already picked our site for Cleveland is going to be a benefit for us, because we can just roll all of that enthusiasm into the election in November of 2016.
RNC Chair Reince Priebus has said that he wants a June convention to allow the nominee to start tapping general election campaign cash. This was a conflict for Dallas, the other finalist for the RNC convention. Now that LeBron James is headed back to the Cavs and a possible, well, according to many people, a probable NBA playoff, how could that affect your plans?
I mean, I think it's still too early to tell. So what the RNC wants, and what Chairman Priebus was saying, was that we want an earlier convention next time around. So in 2016, I mean, traditionally, at least in the last, you know, couple decades or so, the conventions have been held in August. So we want to hold an earlier convention, whether that's June or July, to give our nominee the best opportunity to win in November. So, you know, that frees up some of the general election funds for them if you hold an earlier convention, but also lets them get out on the campaign trail and focused on winning in November earlier in the summer. So there's just more time for them to get out and get their message out.
Emma in Columbus, you're a former Cleveland resident. Welcome to the show, Emma.
Oh, thank you. You know, I was went to visit Cleveland just a couple of weeks ago, and I was driving through Warrensville Center and Cleveland Heights and even through University Circle area, and I was so pleasantly surprised and uplifted, frankly, at just how nice everything really was looking. So when I heard that the RNC had picked Cleveland, you know, I was a little surprised, but then I was like, wait a second, they've put so much time and effort into revitalizing and, you know, into their community development that, of course, it's a gorgeous city right now. And I really, you know, I'm excited about the RNC coming, although I'm a Democrat.
Oh.
And
okay.
I will also
that's
say,
all right.
So are most Clevelanders, from what I understand.
Yeah, and that's a positive thing. But, you know, a great example of a very Democratic area being able to work with the Republicans, and, you know, finally something positive coming out of a little bit of bipartisanship here.
All right. Thanks, Emma.
Thanks.
Yeah. And I mean, what she said is right. I mean, I think that the committee was, you know, Cleveland sometimes gets a bad rap. And I think, you know, this last month, I think Cleveland's been pretty much the epicenter of news for the country. You got LeBron, you got the convention. And so there's a lot of enthusiasm around Cleveland. But what the committee saw was, I mean, what she was talking about. I mean, you drive around Cleveland and it's a great city. And I think, you know, once people go to Cleveland, once people see the city, they'll understand why we picked it.
I love Cleveland. Every time I go there, I love it. It's always been great. It has great neighborhoods, just like Columbus. Let's talk about some of the numbers. How many nowadays, how big are the conventions? How long is it going to last? How many people are you expecting?
Well, the convention will last for 4 days. And, you know, you get different estimates for how many people are going to be there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see numbers like 15,000 journalists, 50,000 delegates and visitors. So it's a big influx of people. And so that's why, you know, I was talking about, you know, the business decision that was made and why, you know, all those aspects are so important. It's because you've got to get all those people around. They need places to stay. They need the security in place to make sure that things are safe. So that's why this was a business decision, for just those reasons. I mean, those numbers are pretty big, and they're pretty big for a city, regardless of what the city is. So it's, you got to have the pieces in place to handle that. But I think it, you know, after getting all those pieces in place and hosting convention, I think ultimately it's a great thing for a city, because it puts them on the national and really probably the international spotlight. And it gets people talking about Cleveland in a positive light. And I think that works out great for us, and it works out great for Cleveland. So it's really a good thing all around.
You mentioned recruiting volunteers. Were you talking about recruiting volunteers for the convention?
Both. I mean, okay. you need a lot of volunteers to help a convention run smoothly. But, you know, if somebody's excited and enthusiastic about working for the Republican National Convention, you know, maybe they're excited to work for the nominee. So, you know, you can take that enthusiasm and people that you know that are willing to get involved and then translate that into, you know, helping to get out the vote.
Donald in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Donald.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
I have a two-part question. It's how important was Hopkins International Airport in Cleveland in your selection of that city? And in respect, how detrimental was Port Columbus to us not getting it?
I don't think that it was... I mean, so to answer your question, I mean, obviously, we think the airport in Cleveland is sufficient. I mean, it's a great airport, and if it wasn't able to handle the, you know, influx of travel, then, you know, Cleveland wouldn't be the choice. But, you know, conversely with Columbus, I mean, Columbus made it to, you know, the final eight, I guess you would say, of our selection process. So, I mean, I think Columbus has a great airport too, and I don't think that was to the detriment of Columbus's bid. I think more we had eight really good bids, and unfortunately, you know, for some cities like Columbus, you have to narrow the field to pick one. So, in the end of the day, we had to narrow things down. But I think that really, and this process took a little bit longer in selecting a city than it has before, and we added some extra steps, and that was because all these cities had such strong quality bids, and it was a tough choice to make.
Thanks a lot, Donald, for that. One thing Cleveland does have that Columbus does not, and that is rail, passenger rail. Is that an issue?
It's definitely a benefit, but I think that, you know, in terms of how people are going to move around in the convention, you know, those details are being worked out with the city right now. So after we picked Cleveland, the RNC starts negotiating with the city on, you know, all the logistical pieces, getting the contract pieces in place to make sure that we've got everything locked down so we can start moving forward with organizing the event. And, you know, rail could be a part of the transportation plan. It could be a way that they move things around. But, you know, you also have to factor in security and things like that and how that all plays together. And, you know, in the end of the day, it'll be a balance struck between, you know, making sure that everything is secure and making sure that, you know, rail is the best way to get people around for something like this versus buses. And, you know, they'll work all those logistical things out in this negotiation phase that we're in right now.
Kathy in Nelsonville, you're on the air. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Go ahead.
My comment was just that I would love also to see the Democratic convention in Columbus, just to have Ohio and the issues facing Ohio as far as the oil and gas exploration and the fracking and all the injection wells, the environmental degradation that has the potential to cause, and as well as the just the rural and the urban poverty that's in Ohio. There are and the purple nature of our state. I think it would just be wonderful to highlight so much of what's going on, as well as all the wonderful development. And it just seems to me that Ohio has a very stark difference between the way Democrats rule and the way Republicans rule.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Kathy.
Thank you.
Thanks. Just before I let you go, Ryan Mahoney, to what extent is a state showcased when something like the Republican National Convention is there? Is it pretty much for the convention goers who get to see a new city, or does the nation, does the world really see much of that city at all, do you think?
Oh, I think that, folks in Ohio, I mean, you guys all know.
Right. We already get seen.
The attention is nothing new to you guys. And it's not going to be any different this time around, except
It'll be constant now. There used to be a break during the convention times.
Right. Now the convention time, you guys don't get a break. But I think, you know, part of the benefit of holding it in Cleveland is that we can highlight not only Cleveland, but we can highlight the state. And, you know, we can highlight, you know, Governor John Kasich and all the good work that he's doing. So I think that, you know, there's a benefit in being able to showcase Cleveland and the state of Ohio from a Republican perspective. And I think, you know, regardless of how much we promote it, I think the national media is going to do a lot of that too. So I think that you're going to get, you know, all eyes on Ohio and maybe a little bit more now that you've got the convention in Cleveland.
All right. Well, Ryan Mahoney, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Ryan Mahoney, he's the GOP, the Republican National Committee Deputy Press Secretary. We'll continue our conversation. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. This hour, we're talking about what hosting the Republican National Convention will mean for Cleveland and Northeast Ohio. Joining us now by phone is Columbus Dispatch Washington correspondent Jessica Wehrman. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Fine, thanks. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And joining us from the studios of WCPN in Cleveland is Nick Castell. He's a political reporter at WCPN Idea Stream. Welcome to the show, Nick. Okay. Well, Nick is out there somewhere. We'll kind of corral him in. Anyways, Jessica, one of the first reads for me last week was the Hill's rundown of DC media snarks on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Can you give us a sense about the reaction from inside the Beltway press corps?
You know, it was interesting because I'm not going to lie, there was a little sort of parochial trash talking as this competition went down, you know, where I would say, oh, yeah, it's going to go to Ohio. It's definitely going to go to Ohio. And some of my colleagues from some of the other states represented say, no, we're definitely the favorite. So trash talking a little bit, you know, people complaining about it. But I would also kind of I want to put a little proviso on there. I think that part of it was just a lot of these guys have covered a lot of conventions and it's sort of the same show, different, you know, different town, same show.
Uh-huh.
So let's kind of put that proviso on it. Some of it was legitimate snark, but some of it was, oh, yeah, another convention, you know. Wow, it's going to be the same thing. Because then that's the same way with the Democrats, too. If you've covered this several times, it's sort of, you know, it's kind of the same game.
How many have you covered?
Oh, gosh. You know what? I was trying to count that up in my head, and I really... probably at least five. I mean, let's see. I was in New York. I was in Tampa. I was in L.A., Philadelphia. So that's four. I think four at least. There may have been another one in there. I'm trying to remember.
I was talking with Laura Bischoff from the Dayton Daily News and the other day, and she was telling me about the adventures and travel in Tampa last time.
Oh, yeah, there was a hurricane. I forgot. I was also in Minneapolis, also faced a hurricane, even though it was not in the hurricane zone.
Right.
Yeah, the adventures in Tampa, and I actually was kind of thinking about this when they were going through this election period, was they had hotels sort of all over creation, which is fine as long as you've got a good transportation system to get them in. And I remember one night sitting on the bus, because I stayed at the same hotel complex the Ohio delegation stayed at.
Mm-hmm.
And one night just sitting on a bus that basically stood still for hours and people were just, because it's tiring. It's the end of a very, very long day.
Right.
And the last thing you want to do is sit on a bus. So the transportation was a little bit of it was more than a little bit of a hassle for some of the delegates last time. And Minnesota, you were also on buses. So there always seems to be kind of a bus element. But I'm also thinking that with the convention in Cleveland, probably the Ohio delegation will get some pretty prime real estate.
Yeah, finally, right?
Yeah, why not? You know, I mean, the candidates come to our city time after time. They inundate the airwaves. You know, they call They call people on the phone during their dinner time. So, it's kind of nice that we're getting a little bit of something out of this, right?
Right, exactly. Hey, joining us now is Nick Castell. He is a political reporter at WCPN Idea Stream in Cleveland. Nick, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
We were talking about some of the Inside the Beltway media snark after the announcement of Cleveland as the 2016 location for the Republican National Convention. And another fun read was the Washington Post interview with a very defensive former Cleveland mayor, Dennis Kucinich. He says that Cleveland's always been a great place to live, which I've always loved visiting the Jewel on the Lake, but it does have a reputation. Let's talk about that bad reputation, or maybe it's just a bad rap.
I think you're always going to get jokes when, especially now, when it's announced that Cleveland is going to be the place where the RNC goes. A lot of people still, what they know about Cleveland are things that happened a long time ago, like the Cuyahoga River catching on fire. They know about our sports teams doing badly. I think it's just the nature of a mid-sized city like Cleveland. There's only so much of your story that really hits the national airwaves on a regular basis. So people really only know what they're able to pick up from wherever they're living, if they're not living in Cleveland.
So what's the mood in Cleveland these days?
Like anything in any place, it depends on who you ask. I would say that people on the street seem pretty happy about it. People think, oh, well, this is good for the city. A lot of people say, we may not be Republicans. Cleveland is a pretty strong Democratic stronghold. They say, mm-hmm. We may not be Republicans, but if Republicans want to come here and spend their money in our restaurants, we're happy to take their money.
Uh-huh.
At the same time, we are starting to hear people be concerned about, well, what's this going to mean for our roads? Are there going to be road closures? Is this going to be a huge inconvenience for us in the middle of the summer when we're trying to get to work? And those are questions that we may not quite fully have answers to for a couple years now.
Now, Jessica Wehrman, I've only been to a couple conventions, and I was usually in a daze both times. I hadn't been to enough to kind of be normalized by it. I don't remember San Diego being necessarily in a dither over the convention. The transportation was great, but what is your sense about, let's say, Minneapolis? What was that like? That would be more like a Cleveland, wouldn't it?
Well, what are you asking? Like,
asking
in terms
about
of the transportation
the,
stuff.
Well, just the upset of
you
a
know,
convention in a city that's
size. You got to kind of take the good for the bad. Yeah, there'll probably be some roads closed. It'll probably be a hassle for this 5 days. But on the upshot, you also have national media from around the country coming into Cleveland and looking around going, well, this place really is really resurging, and it really is a very nice city. And there's a lot going on here. So it's kind of an attention, for example, in New York, people know about New York. They've go to New York. It's one of the top, but they might not necessarily go to Cleveland. So you've got a lot of perks on that front. So it's sort of maybe a little bit of a short-term hassle. You might find companies that sort of decide that they're going to have to adjust some hours out during that week. That's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But I would argue the upshot really kind of outweighs any sort of temporary hassle.
Mm-hmm. What are the political implications of having both conventions in the same state, Jessica?
Well, it would probably, if they were to pick Columbus, for example, if the Democrats were to pick Columbus, it could sort of, okay, let me back up.
Yeah.
Picking Cleveland for the RNC does not necessarily guarantee Republicans will win the state of Ohio in 2016. It just doesn't. I mean, Republicans went to Minneapolis, they went to Tampa, they didn't win in those states, and the same with North Carolina and Obama. That said, there is a chance to reach out in Cleveland to some new voters, to energize some volunteers. That was something that President Obama did pretty effectively in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
He energized a crew of volunteers. When they had the convention there in 2008. So it could energize the base. The other argument for picking Columbus would be that, it might sort of quash some of the energy Republicans might get in Cleveland by having their convention there. So that would be an argument for picking Columbus. And it's a swing state. You really can find solid Democrat and solid Republican voters in either of those states. So,
Nick Castell?
I think that there's definitely, Cleveland has a lot of Democratic voters. It's known as a Democratic stronghold, but it also has plenty of Republican voters. If you look at vote counts from the 2012 presidential election, Mitt Romney won hundreds of thousands of votes in Northeast Ohio, in Cuyahoga County and in the surrounding counties. So although Democrats are still predominant in Northeast Ohio,
there is an opportunity, at least, Republicans think, that if they bring their convention to Cleveland, they can energize their base. They can excite these Republicans who live in Northeast Ohio and make sure they get to the polls and also make sure that they show up to volunteer for this campaign. And so there's at least an opportunity there. Whether it turns out to be true is something we're going to have to see because, as was mentioned before, just holding your convention in a place or in a state does not guarantee that you're going to win that place or that you're even going to do better in the poll.
I think there's a statement also that said by Republicans picking Cleveland. It came down to Cleveland and Dallas. The Texas Republicans have a very, very different platform than Ohio. Is that me?
No, I hope not. You're still here with us, Jessica. Okay. You're not talking to air.
I think that the Dallas Republicans have a very, very different, or the Texas Republicans have a very different platform than Ohio Republicans. Ohio is maybe a little bit more of an appealing platform for general election voters, mm-hmm. for independents, maybe for some right-leaning Democrats. So there is a statement that is made by selecting Cleveland.
Well, let's talk about that platform. Evan in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. My question is kind of a follow-up to what I think Kathy from Nelsonville was trying to address, which is about the platform formation process for the Republican Party. I've gone to a number of Democratic conventions in my capacity as a reporter, and I'm familiar with the process that the Democratic Party uses for forming their platform. And there are opportunities there for public input at hearings held across the country, whether or not the people who actually draft the platform take that input into account after the negotiation process at the convention itself remains to be seen. But I'm wondering what the process is for forming the platform for the Republican Party. Would they, for instance, pay attention to public majority opinions, say, on issues like opposing fracking or supporting renewable energy, healthcare reform, that sort of thing? How does the public influence that process?
Jessica Wehrman?
That would have been a great question for Ryan Mahoney. I'm trying to remember exactly what the details are for the platform. I remember them voting on it, but I'm afraid if I said anything at this point that I would mm-hmm. be just sort of making it up.
There's a platform committee.
There is a platform committee. I'm not sure if they go out and have hearings, and I know that they vote on the platform. That's one of the mm-hmm. major things that they do at the convention, but I can't remember the weeds of the details of how exactly it gets formed. I know, like I said, this is something that the RNC works very hard on, but I can't remember.
Okay. Well, Evan, sorry about that. Maybe we can talk about that in another show sometime. Jonathan in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi. I'm wondering if there's any effect on a John Kasich presidential campaign to have the convention, his home convention in his home state.
The question was whether or not there's excitement from John Kasich. Or?
Well, if there's any impact on a potential candidacy for him for president.
Well, I don't know if this decision would make him choose to run or not to run. Now, and if you would talk to Governor Kasich, I'm sure he would say, listen, my focus is utterly and completely on this year. But, you know, it's discussed. It's talked about for him and for Senator Rob Portman, who's another person who's considered a possible national ticket contender. And, I mean, that would really work out pretty well for either of them if they were to become the nominees or a running mate or have some place on the ticket. I know back when the Democrats went to Boston, John Kerry happened to be the nominee that year, and that was pretty energizing for Democrats, even though they lost the election. I don't know what the impact would be on that. I just it would probably be pretty exciting for Republicans in the state.
Okay, thanks a lot, Jonathan, for that call. Are you back with us, Nick? Nope. Okay. It's killing me. All right. So
technology.
Exactly. We were talking earlier about the Hills rundown of D.C. media snarks on Twitter. If Cleveland was dissed, I was wondering what might happen if the DNC picks Columbus.
You know, Cleveland unfortunately went through a rough time. The whole water, the whole river burning, that sort of thing. I don't know that Columbus has necessarily that with it, but people would go, well, where's Columbus? You know, I mean, Columbus is still in many ways kind of creating it. I mean, we're a pretty world-class city ourselves, I would say, but we haven't necessarily got the attention of a Cleveland or a Cincinnati or Chicago over the years. And I think that maybe one of the upshots of us bidding for both the Democrats and the Republican conventions is that maybe that kind of changes that. Maybe that people sort of look to us as a potential contender. When you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. We can move people pretty quickly. Look at Ohio State games, which actually, you know, despite any sort of traffic hassle, you know, it moves, the traffic moves. We have wonderful events. We have world-class, you know, museums. We have great, you know, we have great infrastructure. So, you know, it would only build our status, I think.
Let's talk about the LeBron factor a little bit. Last week was good times in Cleveland with the RNC decision and a little LeBron James returning to the Cavs announcement. I asked Ryan Mahoney from the RNC about this too. The RNC chair has said that he wants a June convention to allow the nominee to start tapping general election campaign cash. How big of a deal is that? And to what extent do you think the Democrats might have an earlier convention as well?
I haven't heard much discussion from the Democrats about moving it. Now, I don't know if that changes. I think that their timeline is pretty much the same. On the Republican end, I think that it probably, the flexibility that Cleveland was willing to offer, probably in the end kind of helped make the decision between Cleveland and Dallas. Mark Cuban, who owns the Mavericks, was unwilling to spare his the arena any earlier than the playoffs might end. Mm-hmm. And I know there was some flexibility that Cleveland was willing to present. And more importantly, you know, the Cavaliers owners were willing to work with them, which I think mattered in the end. It really, I kind of asked people, you know, because money is a very big thing for a convention site. It's very important that they be able to raise the money necessary to hold a major political convention. And I was wondering whether it would come down to money or flexibility. And they do have the money. I mean, they will be able to raise the money, they've assured me. But the flexibility mattered, the willingness of Cleveland to work with them. They have a little space between Jacobs Field, or between Progressive Field, I'm sorry, and the queue, where they can build up. It's sort of a subground space, so they can prepare even if we are in the playoffs, even if the Cavs are in the playoffs, they could start doing some build up and kind of make that transition easier.
Is there a lot to do in Cleveland? I know this is probably a better question for Nick Castell, but is there a lot to do there?
They seem to be pretty confident that it's not going to be, I mean, that it will be some work. I mean, these are big things, but that there's not really, they're ready for convention is what they've made it pretty clear all along.
Okay, let's squeeze in something about the Three Stooges in Cleveland. Ray and Hinckley, you're on the air. Hi, Ray.
Yeah, a few months ago, thanks for having me on. I was watching an episode of the Three Stooges, not that I do this all the time.
Oh, sure.
They were poking fun of Cleveland on this episode, and I thought, wow, that's probably where it started, just like W.C. Fields making fun of Philadelphia.
Huh? I hadn't heard that.
Well, when I was reading about the Cleveland bid and this reputation that Cleveland has, I think it was the Washington Post did a pretty thorough story. Maybe it was you, Jessica, actually, but just looking back, trying to look at the inception of the Cleveland reputation. Mm-hmm. And it goes back pretty far, unfortunately, but maybe this will be the event that turns that around. Ray, thanks a lot, and go back to your Three Stooges now.
I took a beating.
Okay.
Bye.
Yeah, take care. Well, Jessica Wehrman, you're going to stay with us.
Absolutely.
We'll continue the conversation. Coming up, we're going to hear from Columbus City Council President Andrew Ginther. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Some believe the chances of Columbus hosting the 2016 Democratic National Convention are good. especially after the Republicans announced that Cleveland was their choice for the 2016 Republican National Convention. The DNC Convention Site Selection Committee will be visiting Columbus in August. Still with us is Jessica Wehrman, reporter for the Columbus Dispatch Washington Bureau. Joining us now in the studio is Columbus City Council President Andrew Ginther. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ann. Thanks for having me on.
Jessica, I know that Council President Ginther won't answer this honestly, so I'm asking you, where might Columbus fall short?
Well, I mean, I don't know that it's a question of falling short so much as looking at the competition. We've got we face some pretty strong contenders. Brooklyn, I think, and you know what, we kind of did this with the Cleveland, with the Republican National Convention, and everyone said, oh my gosh, Dallas and Las Vegas, those guys are shoo-ins. They're definitely going to get this convention. That was sort of the early chatter. And I think right now Brooklyn probably would have a lot of advantages. That may be the competition, the tough competition. That's definitely the one that comes to mind.
Another comeback area,
yeah,
for one thing.
Yeah, another comeback area. And, I mean, they really have gone after this very enthusiastically. And, you know, as Cleveland demonstrated, that matters in the race. I mean, Cleveland was very, very clear that they were all in. So, you know, I don't know that it's an issue of shortfalling. There's always the logistical issues. I mean, if the logistics just don't work, you know, if they don't have the hotel rooms or the technical requirements, and we'll forget about it. But I really think it's more of an issue of, you know, who else are we competing against? So,
Andrew Ginther, is that how you see it?
Well, I think, you know, we feel really good about where we're at this point. We think we have all the facilities and hotel rooms. You know, we need 26,000 of them to support and host the DNC. We all have a number of them downtown and within a quick, easy commute. I've been to conventions in both Denver and Charlotte, and I think we are well positioned, and we're making some critical investments, $80 million into Port Columbus and $125 million into the convention center, all in preparation and will be done ahead of time when the DNC hopefully chooses Columbus in 2016. So we're in great position, but we're already making investments so that we can host these types of events in the future. But we feel very good about the response we're getting from the private sector, the public sector, because there's a good amount of fundraising that has to take place to land a convention like this. And the response has been overwhelming. So we feel very good about it. And obviously, we don't have to remind folks that the Columbus media market is the most important media market in the most important state in presidential elections. So we've got a lot of things going for us.
Do you think I should set up my radio show out there, Jessica? Wouldn't that be fun?
There you go.
I remember going through the conventions and seeing the radio.
Radio Row.
Radio Row, right. And it looked like so much fun. And
yeah,
that was back when I was print. So, Andy Ginther, local boosters have to raise some $50 million.
Sure.
The state already has promised $10 million to one or both convention cities if Columbus is selected. How do you raise the rest? Who's out there asking for it? How does that work?
Well, you've got a number of folks. Obviously, the mayor, leadership from the private sector, myself, and other elected officials. And the response has been great. Obviously, the state's commitment, the city's made a significant commitment, as well as the county. And we are working within the private sector, raise money locally, but also we know that we're going to need money from around the country to help support this. And so
can go into the pot.
Absolutely. We're in process of securing and lining up some top-notch national fundraisers. So we have, you know, Governor Strickland and Mayor Coleman kind of heading up this effort. But we also have a great secret weapon in David Wilhelm, who was the youngest DNC chair under President Clinton, who lives in
Down
Bexley.
He lives in
Bexley with his wife, and they're giving us great advice and giving us strategy as we move down this path. So we got a lot of great folks that are stepping up to help us out.
Nancy in Clintonville, you're on the air. Hi, Nancy.
Hello. Yes, you mentioned Ted Strickland, and I would think that he would be an influence because he's such a good friend of Bill Clinton, and probably Hillary will be the nominee. And I also wonder if someone like Rich Cordray, being a friend of the president, might be an influence. And I would also think the Democrats would want to highlight the life and career of John Glenn. Mm-hmm. I mean, I realize he's 92 years old, but I think that would be a big plus as well.
Andrew Ginther, how much do the personalities and the potential, the cameo appearances type things matter? Is that something you pitch?
Yeah, I think that matters, and it's part of the reason that former Governor Strickland and Mayor Coleman, we couldn't ask for better advocates and cheerleaders. I mean, everyone knows of the relationship that Ted Strickland and the Clintons have, and obviously the mayor is one of the first big city mayors in all of America to endorse President Obama. So we feel very good about that. And then, you know, Senator Glenn is a national hero and an icon, not just here, but in Washington, in places around the country. So having, you know, leaders like that, who also happen to be Democrats, as champions for our cause and effort, do make a difference. And we feel really good about our chances.
Jessica Wehrman, all this helps, right?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly doesn't hurt. And I think that Strickland, I know, has been very, very outspoken on this. And, you know, the mayor has been, you know, very outspoken on this, Joyce Beatty. So we don't lack for supporters. I think that wouldn't be, you know, again, it comes back to, I think, can we raise the money? Do we have the logistics? And what's the competition like?
Right. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org if you have a question or comment for my guests about the sighting of the Republican National Convention in Cleveland and the possible sighting of the Democratic National Convention in Columbus, the Democratic National Committee Selection Committee, I guess, or however that's, whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. It's going to be visiting the city in August. If you have a question or comment, 614-292-8513. I'm talking with Andy Ginther. He's the president of the Columbus City Council, and also Jessica Wehrman. She's a correspondent from Washington for the Columbus Dispatch. 2 years out, you said that, Andy Ginther, that the city's making an $80 million investment in Port Columbus, also something like $20 million in the convention center.
$120 million.
That's what I could. Yeah. I thought I misunderstood that. So the $80 million at Port Columbus, what is that doing? How is that an investment that helps?
Well, we want to make sure that it's easier to get in and out of Columbus. That's obviously critical to landing conferences and conventions that have folks that are going to be coming from coasts, particularly the DNC. You're going to have a lot of folks coming from the East Coast and the West Coast. And we want to make sure that, you know, as we're continuing to try to add direct flights, that, you know, once folks get here, that it's easy for them to get around Columbus.
So it's not. There'll be more direct flights?
That's what we're working on, you know. Because
praise
that's
be, right, Jessica?
You know,
yeah, no kidding.
you know, and we've had, we're going to have the direct flight to LAX added. We're working to add some direct flights to San Francisco and, you know, continuing to work on that effort. But we also want to make sure once they get here that it's easy to get around Columbus. I think one of the challenges our friends in Charlotte had is they pretty much have one interstate. You know, 77 was the only way to get in and around Charlotte. Obviously, we're blessed with infrastructure that will help folks get around, but we don't want folks to be totally reliant on cars either and try to figure out some other ways to make sure that we can't host all 26,000 folks downtown. We can host a good majority of them downtown, but certainly within 270 in a very close proximity, closer, obviously, than either Charlotte or Denver. So we feel good about that going for us. But we got to make sure that we have phenomenal neighborhoods, galleries, restaurants, shops. And so part of this experience is making sure that folks are able to reach and access those and show off our city and obviously benefit our local businesses.
Right, because there's a lot of events, right, Jessica, that occur all over the city.
There are fundraisers, there are receptions, there are all sorts of parties, there are after parties. I mean, last time in Tampa, they had, I think they brought Journey with the new lead singer in and the Zac Brown Band and all. I mean, there's really, it's not just the stuff that happens in the arena. It really kind of takes over a lot of the city, but it's some pretty interesting events.
Yeah, my wife and I went to a John Legend concert in Charlotte at the NASCAR Museum there. So, I mean, it really can touch all parts of the city. It'll be predominantly, focused on and most impactful downtown. But there are going to be venues throughout our city that are going to benefit. And obviously, hotels and restaurants are going to benefit throughout the community.
Are there any operations downtown that may have to change while the convention, if it does come here, that they would have to change like how COTA operates or something like that. How much are you working with COTA on this?
A huge part of it. And it's also one of the reasons we wanted to launch the C-Bus Circulator as well, you know, to learn lessons and improve that service and figure out ways that when major conventions and conferences come to town, that people can get to all of the adjacent neighborhoods to downtown quickly and easily. And so we're working very closely with them. There are going to be, if we are able to and feel good about our chances of landing the DNC, there are going to be some changes and adjustments, but that's what big cities do. You know, big cities that host these types of events have to make some adjustments and changes to their day-to-day life to make sure that we can put an international spotlight on our great city and move into that top-tier discussion.
Is this going to be the biggest ever, biggest convention?
Yeah, that's my understanding. And it is...
In Columbus, I mean.
Certainly in Columbus. And obviously we'll put the spotlight on our city throughout the world. And we feel very strongly about it. And I'm thrilled for my friends in Cleveland. They had a great week last week. And this the RNC is a big deal. And, you know, County Executive Fitzgerald, Mayor Jackson, all those folks worked very hard. But I always like to remind folks that they may nominate presidents in Cleveland, but in Columbus, we elect them. And so that's the message we've been sending to the DNC ever since then. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Let's get to take a quick call from Judith in Columbus. Hi, Judith.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Okay, my question is, okay, you guys said that they're going to be really, I'm going to paraphrase, pumping millions and millions of dollars into Port Columbus.
80 million, right?
Don't make me faint.
I hear you.
Into the airport. Okay. How is that going to benefit the average resident that's paying taxes right here?
Okay.
Remember when Amira Flora came and mm-hmm. they spent millions of dollars improving the homes around that area?
Mm-hmm.
So how's that going to benefit me? Because I'm really upset to hear that.
All right. Well, let's find out. Andy Ginther, how did those kinds of investments, that would be going on anyway?
Yes, but
okay.
Obviously the size of the investment, the timing, and the sequencing is all being coordinated, and
okay.
we're being strategic about this. Absolutely, Port Columbus was due, and we've been making ongoing investments in Port Columbus. This will help in a variety of different ways. Obviously, it will help increase economic activity in folks that are coming to and from Columbus to do business, and obviously it's going to help us attract more businesses to come to want the direct flights mm-hmm. that, you know, have, you know, whether it's business executives, but also logistically, we are becoming a logistics hub. You know, very few places in America are outside of a day's travel from Columbus. And so, you know, whether it's the intermodal or, you know, everything that's taking place at Rickenbacker, we feel that's an area for us to continue to leverage and strengthen our position as a place that can reach nearly all the markets in America in one day's travel.
Thanks, Judith, for that call. What about the projects going on around 270, the 70-71 split? Is that all going to be the 23 and 270 construction project? Are you concerned about those?
No, because we feel like there's going to be a good amount of progress that's going to be made on all of those projects. You know, obviously, they're not all going to be completed
right.
by July of 2016, but there's going to be significant progress. I mean, you take a look back to 2 years ago and, you know, the mayor and I and others were just at the Lincoln or at the Long Street Cap by the Lincoln Theater unveiling just last week. I mean, we'd been talking about that for 10 years and waiting and working with ODOT and other folks. And that is going to be an amazing place of connectivity between the Near East Side and downtown. And so, you know, I think both, you know, 23, I think 70-71 split, other improvements that are being made to 70 further east, all of those improvements and infrastructure investments are going to pay huge dividends for us in 2016 and beyond.
Andrew Ginther, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Andrew Ginther, he's Columbus City Council President. Also, Jessica Wehrman. Jessica, thanks for joining us again. Nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you, too. Thanks so much for having me.
Jessica Wehrman, she is from the Columbus Dispatch Washington Bureau. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.